I reckon it's going to be high, you know.
Honestly, I think so too, because of the trauma and because...
Well, if it's like in its 90s or something, or like 104, I don't know why the number 104 is coming in. Well, I doubt it's that, but 90s.
If I had as much trauma as you, I think I'd be 904.
Oh, my God.
Anything below 904 is going to be a good number, I think.
904.
Okay. Would you like to know?
Yeah.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of What's My Age Again? This episode, we have a very special guest who I can't wait to talk to, Katie Price. She's 46, but she has squeezed more into her life than most of us could ever dream of. She is a model, a singer, a TV star, and a writer with 8 autobiographies under her belt. She's also a mom to 5 kids, and maybe counting, and she's been married 3 times, and maybe counting. She's always been in the spotlight, whether that's campaigning for people with learning disabilities on behalf of her adorable son, Harvey, or for her turbulent love life, or maybe even her latest cosmetic surgery. So later in the show, we will find out Katie's biological age with our scientist, Dr. Nicola Conlon, and find out how all that hard work, all that drama, and all that parenting has played out in her body.
Katie Price, I can't believe you're here.
Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Do you know how much I love you? I love you. I've always loved you. I've never strayed. I know that in the press, you go up and down. You're very exciting. Sometimes you're the queen of the jungle. Other times you're being dragged through the mud. I have never faltered in my love for you.
Oh, thank you. That's quite refreshing.
Katie Price, you are here to take a biological age test.
I know. This is the first... I'm going to take my shoes off so I get comfy.
Do it, yeah.
So when my sister said we're doing your podcast, I was like, oh my God, this would be so fun. Mm. I love it. And they said, but they need to take blood. I was like, what? I hate... I'm needle phobic. You wouldn't think it with all the surgery and that, but we could talk about that later. I was like, oh no, I can't, the blood. And then she said, it's only a finger prick test. I was like, okay. But I thought, how weird, blood test. What's this going to do? So I was really intrigued.
It's the whole new world of like science and biohacking meets interview, and people want to stay young now. I think that your generation and mine, I was very interested in not just your honesty about glamour modeling and plastic surgery and everything else, because I'm from that generation, the like, get your tits out for the lads. I think we're from a generation that was a lot more about aesthetic beauty. Like, we'd get tattoos on the lower back and like maybe Botox and fillers and fake hair and tans and boobs. And I think that has shifted to people now just want to live a long time and be healthy from the inside out.
Which I think isn't a bad thing, actually.
Yeah. So are you doing anything now that you're over 40, like me, to tackle that side of things? Are you know, because
I see plastic surgery is still ongoing. But I did start, I know I had my boobs done when I was 18. Mm-hmm. Because the seed was there and I knew I'd always wanted bigger boobs. Mm-hmm. So I went and did it and then got banned from Page 3.
But you came to a game of checkers playing chess.
Yes.
And you said, I'm actually going to the Playboy Mansion and I'm going to leapfrog all of you Page 3 girls and go be famous in America.
Yeah.
And then you became an icon.
Oh, thank you. I don't look at myself like that. Mm. And like some people say, do you wake up every day and be like, oh, you're fat? I hate the word famous. But they say, do you wake up every day and think, oh, I'm this? I'm like, no. Because people don't understand. I was training to be a registered nurse before I was a model. Mm-hmm. Obviously didn't finish the course because I ended up...
Because of the needles.
Yeah.
You're like, no.
And... No, I don't mind doing it on other people, just not myself. Okay. And I never knew, just doing Page 3, I'd still be here. It's 30 years next year. This is all I know. So I don't look at myself and think, oh, I'm this person or I'm just normal. And I think when people get to know me, they find it hard to associate me as someone who's talked about every day in the media because I'm just so normal. I don't know what they think I'm going to be like when I'm at home or if they see me out shopping in Sainsbury's or whatever. Well, how do they think I'm going to do my shopping? Like, it's just, I'm normal like everyone else. It's just, I don't know, I've just lasted this long. Don't ask me how. I'm not manufactured. I do what I want to do. And I think because I have had so many ups and downs, people can relate to me because... It's normal, you know, I've had the breakups, I've had, I don't know, just normal, like everyone else. Behind closed doors, there's always something that goes on and mine's just been public and I talk about what happens?
I think as an outsider, it really is Harvey that has been the cornerstone.
My Harvey Bear.
But I think that's the cornerstone of respect that people will never lose for you in this country. I think if you hadn't had Harvey and being the type of mom that you are and that you always have been to Harvey, I think that catapulted you into an echelon of respect where no matter what happens with the men, the surgery, the glamour modeling, this and that, the reality shows, the bankruptcies, the trauma, everything that we're going to get into, I think people go, yeah, but she's the kind of mom that not everybody could be.
No, you could. I was 22, the height of my career. And it's like, do you have a babe or do you do your career? And in my head, it was like, because obviously Dwight wanted me to get rid of Harvey. And I did go to the abortion clinic 3 times, sitting there in the gown, waiting. And it would go through my head, no, what? Why am I doing this? I love kids and I'm very maternal. And I was like, no, I'm going to keep him. I don't care. Don't want his money. Don't want, I've never had any money from him, nothing for Harvey. And I thought, do you know what? It's the heart of my career. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't. At least I got my baby. And so I kept him, still never knowing that he would have all these complex needs. And it worked. Had Harvey and he just came everywhere with me. I love Harvey, my Harvey Bear.
Is he your favourite the way my oldest is my favourite?
Do you know, all my kids say, I'm your favourite or I'm your favourite. And then sometimes they say, no, Harvey's your favourite. I'm like, no, it's not that I've got a favourite. He just needs different care to them. He's like a man baby. He's he's huge, but he's a baby. He still wants me to cuddle him. I still have to wash him because he doesn't wash himself properly. I still have to dress him. You know, he's still wet the bed and I have to change the bed. He's like, he just weighs just under 29 and a half stone now, which we're really worried about. We've been in touch with the doctors because if he doesn't lose weight, he will have a heart attack. So, yeah, I'm not saying he's my favourite, but it's always been me and him, no man involved. And I always think the kids where there is a man involved is the most aggro, I might have to say.
Dwight York may have been your best ex.
At least I sometimes think that, but then I would love it if he saw Harvey. The door is always open. He'd be so proud of Harvey. The door is always open, like, for him. I just want him to see Harvey, because if he's so... How can he not? He's so lovable.
I'm sure he does see Harvey, if I know Harvey.
Oh, I'm sure. I always question. I'm like, surely people must say, oh, look at this. They surely must do. But no, I'm not saying if he does listen to this, don't be stubborn and think, oh, it's been too long. You're always welcome to see Harvey.
I mean, I think it's time to have a boundary about that. I would not welcome him to see
Harvey. Everyone says that to me.
Yeah.
Everyone says, why would you want that? You've done all that. Why? Everyone says that. But I just think it's good that Harvey doesn't understand about it. I think it's more like because of his nick, like he's the way he was, that's why he didn't want to know him. That was why. And because I remember when I was in America and took him to, it's all in my book anyway, when I went to America, the same time I went to the Playboy Mansion, I took him to see a specialist. And I remember on the call, he said, no, he's blind. And he went, well, it's your fault. He'll never be able to play golf or football and this. I will never, ever forget that him saying that and sort of blaming me. But he should still love him for who he is, like... I don't know. Sometimes I hear he does charity stuff. I'd love to just turn up with Harv and go, here's your son here. But I don't know. I just want him to be proud of him. But everyone's like, hey, I wouldn't bother. He hasn't been in your life, this and
that. Why do you want him to feel anything about Harvey? Why does it matter to you at all, what Dwight York thinks?
I just think Harvey, like if I ever say to Harvey, look, who's that? Because obviously I've shown him pictures when he's young. If I say, who's Dwight? He just goes... He's black. That's all he ever says. I don't know, really. I just think, because I'm quite a maternal, love family, just even for Dwight to even be like, you've done a good job, or oh, Harvey's grown into it. I don't know. I don't know what it is, really. Yeah.
Well, you have done a good job.
Yeah.
And I think the country and the world, and certainly TikTok, are proud of Harvey and love Harvey and think Harvey's a legend and Harvey's really funny and see that you, all on your own, have taken impeccable care of him.
Yeah.
And I think...
I am going to start his TikTok up. He's moving home.
Because monetize it.
Because he's at college, he's now... I found a place near home now because obviously you can't be at college forever and he's dying to be near me. So I'm going to set him up his Cameo, TikTok and all of this because he's just so funny. I think he'd just smash
it. Really funny.
Yeah.
And I think even if you don't want to commit to him as a favorite, he is a witness to a time in your life that the other children,
through everything.
They weren't present for.
Yeah. Because even if he can't speak or say his feelings, it doesn't matter what a parent goes through, kids feel... the emotion of their parent. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. You know, I've been in... most of my relationships have either been domestic, mental abuse, narcissism. They do feel it. And Harvey's obviously been there for me for all of it.
You grew up together.
We did. Yeah.
That's how I feel about my oldest. And I'm going to monetize her socials as well.
Yeah.
Trauma, I think, plays a big role in biological age.
Oh, that's why I'm interested in this. Tell me trauma. Jesus Christ, I've got a whole list of it.
You really do.
But I do. I don't joke about it. I literally do.
And I know that you've had therapy. You've had therapy really publicly before.
Yeah, the Priory. I was an inpatient both times, 5 weeks, for severe PTSD rehabilitation. Never been in there for addicted to drugs or alcohol, although the second time I went in, because of what was going on, I self-medicated on coke, which everyone knows, but everyone was also shocked because they're like, Kate, she's never done all that. Mm. And it just grabbed me, made everything numb, shut it out. But I didn't go in there for that. I was doing it to cover what was going on. So, yeah, I've been there and I'm openly happy to talk about everything. I've got nothing to hide because if anyone listens to this... you're not alone if you're going through it. I've been through it and come out the other end and I'm so happy I stuck to it.
And I think because people speak about it now, especially someone with a platform like yours, people understand more about drugs and trauma going hand in hand. Some of the trauma you've spoken about has taken my breath away. Stuff from like child abuse.
When I was raped in a park when I was 7. Yeah.
Raped in a park by a stranger when you were 7.
Yeah. Yeah. That was in my book. Funny enough, when Piers Morgan done that life stories with me years ago, that was the only thing I cried at. And I'm like, why am I crying at that? I didn't know it even affected me. But later on, when you have therapy, it's so true. Everything stems to what happens in your childhood, growing up, to what makes how you are. So that was my first incident. And then it goes on from there.
And then you're in an industry that now we know, especially Hollywood, is full of abuse. And women who are very vulnerable and powerful men and you know, sex changing hands in really toxic ways. And then I read about South Africa. Again, you were attacked.
Well, yes. Yeah, so before the South Africa one, I've had, they weren't all out publicly. I've had 3 kidnap threats where every time the doorbell would go and it would be Scotland Yard in plain clothes. And the first time it happened, I thought it was Anton Deck doing a prank. Mm. So I was just about to go for a curry. This was when I was with Pete. And the door went. And went, oh, it's the police at the door. And I was just getting out the bath. I went, oh, what's that for? I haven't done anything. Like, presuming, what have I done? I went, they'll have to come back. So we're just about to go for a curry. And then Pete was like, no, they said you won't want to go for a curry when they hear what they've got to say. So they come in and they all seemed very, like, serious. And I kept going, this is a wind-up, isn't it? Go on, where's Ant and Deck? Jump out. They were like, no, Kate, this is serious. Like, we're not joking. And we're like, well, what's going on? And basically, there was a kidnap threat. There was, through their intelligence, they know, there was a group who were going to set up a car accident where they have to pull us over, like as if they were police, and take one of the kids as ransom. So that was that one. And then I've had 2 more since then, same thing, Scotland Yard. These people knew the panic buttons in my house. They knew what they were going to do. I had the police in my house on camp bed sleeping outside my bedroom door for that one. And the other one, it was a ransom for Harvey. So they were quite traumatic.
Yeah.
Knowing that you're being watched and you don't realise you're being watched. And that's where my relationship with paparazzi as well. I know we go back to the trauma. It gives me anxiety.
Yeah.
Because there's been many times I've seen pictures in the paper where I've been in the car or walking about and I feel like I'm being watched and I look around and I can't see anything. And then I see pictures in the paper and I say to myself, so you're not nuts. You were being watched where I don't see the paps. And I hate that. I think paparazzi should have an official badge to say they're paparazzi. Because there's been times, again, where I've been going into a car park and there's a group of men with cameras.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've called the police and I say it's me, they're like, oh, you know, that's just part of your job. I'm like, well, no, there's like six men, like with cameras, they're intimidating me. And as soon as they say they're paparazzi, they're like, there's nothing they could do. But how do they know they're paparazzi? How do they know they're actually not men and using the camera as an example? Mm-hmm. You know, there's things like that. So I have had it pretty bad like that. I'm not moaning because I absolutely love what I do. I love the realities, love the cameras, love the photo shoots and that. But it has also got this other daunting side that people don't realise, you know?
Yeah. I think people are realising it more and more because it's
spoken about.
Look at
Justin Bieber, just see his advert. You're all about the money. And it's true.
Mm-hmm.
That if I had a car accident, they wouldn't get out and help. They'd rather take the pictures first to get their money shot. And it is like that. It is like that.
Do you have any friendships with paparazzi because they're around so much? Do you have any trusted guys like Britney Spears maybe did?
So with me, I was very late at realising because agents before, managers and that before, because sometimes I'll turn up somewhere and I'll be like, why is there paps here? Now I realise because they had the contacts, because they were the ones who would do like our interviews or whatever with the press. And then I realised if you could set up your own pap. So what I do now, there's a pap agency, Backgrid, I use. So if anyone sees pictures with Backgrid, you know I would have set them up on holiday.
Called up Ricky Vigil.
It is that. I'm only being honest because, so if I go on holiday, the last thing I want, I don't like being in a bikini anyway on a beach because I don't like people looking. And it's the old camera phones. And then, you know, if they take it gets on social media. So if I go on holiday, I'll take bikini pictures, get Backgrid to do them. So then it would deflect from any other paparazzi flying out or coming out trying to do pictures because they know I've already done it.
Yeah.
You just have to be a step ahead of everything now.
But that does leave a low level of anxiety with you. I mean, there are these huge traumas that you seem to very much sweep under the rug.
Like, I do, because then that's not healthy either.
No.
I've learned that.
Not for this.
It's not healthy, no. And like when you said South Africa, I mean, we were told by ITV not to talk about it. I think that's why they don't use me anymore.
That's convenient for ITV. So you were filming with ITV in South Africa. You didn't have security.
Nope.
Even though you're presumably...
No, we didn't have security. And I was quite happy to stay in the same hotels as the crew because I'm not a diva or anything like that. But even my parents were like, Kate, even if we go to South Africa, we'd have like security or something just for like safety. It's like that. And then my friend, the reason we went out there, Neil, because he's from South Africa, and he was saying to them, look, you should have security. You know, I'm from here. I know that. And they're like, no, we'd be fine. So then I'll never forget it. So the guy, the producer guy, wanted to go a different route that they'd already planned with my friend Neil. And Neil was like, we shouldn't really do that route because it's not really a tourist area. So what happened? He said, oh, but the views would be nice. So we're going up this road. All the crew were in front. And then the guy from South Africa had all our luggage in the other van who went ahead. And then Junior said, oh, Mum, I need a wee. So we phoned him in the car in front and said, look, Junior needs to stop for a wee. So we pulled over. There's nothing around. It was just this long road. And then I remember Junior was up on the bank and he said to me, Mum, imagine if I just dropped down here. And I was just about to have a wee by the car, pulling my knickers down. And then we just heard, Casa, get in the fucking car. Like, Casa, we want your Casa. And we're like, what the fuck's happened? A car pulled up with six guys in it, coming out with the guns and everything. We're like, what the fuck? So we all got in the car, locked the door. It actually felt like a horror film. And the kids were in the back were screaming. I'm like, kids, you're fine, you're fine, you're fine. And we saw them all on the car in front. They're banging on the window for me to open the door. And he had an Adidas hoodie on. So I can't ever, I find it really hard when I see a guy with a black Adidas hoodie on. Because it just makes me think of this guy. And this was the first time my kids know that I would take a bullet for them. Because I remember I always take a pillow everywhere with me. And I wouldn't let them near the kids. I said, don't open the door to them. And I'm like that with the pillow, waiting to be shot so they wouldn't get to my kids. And then my friend got out, Neil, and he said, come on then, let's have it, like that, because they took the car keys. And then the guy come in and then he done things to me while the kids were in the back. Then Neil got back in the car and then they had a gun here, knocked him out. I'm just picturing all the blood everywhere. He was unconscious. The kids were screaming. And I'm thinking, what do I do here? Got the keys off him. I was like that, trying to start the car, and I couldn't get the keys in because you're shaking.
Yeah.
Then they took him off again. That's when Neil got back in the car. So even now, he can't see in his eyesight. He's got all cuts here. And then we was like, when is this going to end? When's it going to... They nicked loads of stuff, jewellery, everything. And then they suddenly went and it seemed like ages. And then we all got out the car and I was shouting to the car in front, help us, fucking help us, like this. None of the men got out the car in the other, you know, all the crew, none of them got out.
Were they local?
No, they were from London.
Oh, but they just knew how dangerous it was or?
Well, no, I think they were shit scared themselves. Yeah. But then when all the guys come onto our car, they didn't even try and get out either. And then we was in the road just trying to flag down any cars. No cars would stop. And then, well, one did eventually. They had a family in the car and I had the kids with me and they could see Neil had blood. I was like, please, please stop. I said, please, look, I've got kids. This, you know, we're not here to do anything to you. Please help. So they stopped and said, we need the police. We haven't got our phones or nothing. They said, there's police up the road. I said, please, can you get them? Please, please, like this. So they did turn round and then the police turned up. It made the press out there, not because of it was us, it's because the police said it was so unusual that they didn't shoot and kill us. And the reason they said they didn't is because they took the keys of the vehicles, that meant that everything they nicked, they would have gone and dumped it, and then they would have come back, killed us and then taken the vehicles.
Oh.
That's because the police said it's so common, that's what happens.
But they weren't able to catch them.
No, no.
Yeah.
So obviously, some of the crew were traumatized and flew home. And I'm in a situation, you know, I do TV and that. What do I do? Do I piss off ITV and say, fuck this, I'm going home, I'm not filming? Or do you carry on filming? What do you do? And then I said, look, we'll get all security in. So straight away, they got security in with guns, this and that. And security said, well, obviously, if we was with you, that wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
We carried on filming and then we come home and then I've never worked with ITV since. They've never booked me and I didn't even do anything wrong. It's not my fault. But that was very traumatic. I've just gone over it quickly, but obviously I've had therapy. Princess had to have therapy. She's still panicky at night in cars and stuff. I mean, it was traumatic.
Well, you're held up by six guys with guns and sexually assaulted in front of your kids.
Yeah.
And then
they were in the back.
The Katie Price mindset is finish the job.
Yeah.
And you carried on working and that will be stored.
See, this is it. All the traumatic events I've had, because the industry we're in is so fast paced, it's not the same job every day. It's like you move on to the next, to the next, to the next. And you don't deal with the situation. Like if you think one trauma can affect someone for the rest of their life. You know, when I was in the Priory and, you know, it's that you all sit in a circle when you do your group therapy and stuff and you go around and hear what's happened to people. There's some things I heard people say and think, what, you're only in here for that?
Yeah. Just say that out loud in the circle, I would have
liked. Well, you can't. Yeah, imagine. But then you think, how it's affected them. And then I sit there and think, fucking hell, imagine if you went through what I had, but you can't do that because something so small can affect someone so bad. And then I think to myself, even like the doctors at the Priory said, they've never known someone to come in with actual real life traumatic events, so many as me, and still be here sitting. Like, it's horrendous what I've been through. But at the same time, I've had a good life, and at the same time, it's horrendous. And the horrendous stuff is stuff that's not been in my control. It's just happened. So that's why I ended up in the Priory in the end, because how much more can my brain take?
Well, it seems like you have operated from a fight or flight place of trauma since
if you had therapy.
You were 7 years old.
Because the word you use is so like therapy, the flight mode and all that.
I listen to a lot of podcasts. I do read a lot.
Yeah, it's good. And it's true, though.
But the only thing I have in common with you trauma-wise, and not even as bad as you, again, I would say, is the men.
Oh, my God.
And I think maybe
it's, I'll go, oh, my God.
I'm traumatized by the men that you've dated.
Even the therapists say, and my family all say, if you hadn't chose the men choices you did, you would be completely different in your headspace. You probably would have done better in your, even I've done well in my career, but wouldn't have been in situations. But I think it stems from being young and having your first relationship where they'd cut my clothes up, beat me up. My mum would have to pick me up.
And weren't you like 16?
I was 15 that one. And then I got pregnant at 16, where he kicked me in the belly, killed the baby. Then my mum had to get the police involved. And I think from then you get used to some kind of relationship, because then the next one I was in, and that's when I started page three, he'd be jealous that I was on page three and put me down and all of that.
When did you get your ADHD diagnosis?
About 2 years ago now.
So there is a theory, and this is just a theory that I have seen, that women are linking undiagnosed ADHD to choosing really volatile relationships.
Really?
Because you always require stimulation.
And it probably makes sense, you know.
And when you are in a position where you have to exercise a lot of vigilance and assessment constantly. If you're with an abuser, it's vigilance, assessment. What's he going to do next? How can I react?
And it is exactly that.
It's very stimulating, the men that you've chosen.
Yeah, they've either been toxic or narcissists, mental abuse, physical abuse. I mean, I don't know what's worse out of mental abuse or physical, because I think mental abuse, because it's hidden. Mm-hmm. You know, people can't see the mental abuse. It's horrific. To the point, late on in my life, it's only taken me to be in my bloody 40s to actually do all these courses on healthy relationships, this and that, that I realised I've never, ever, ever been in a healthy relationship. I've been cheated on so many times. Mm-hmm. And then, obviously, that reflects yourself because you think, what's wrong with me?
Yeah.
And then the people they choose, you're like, oh, my God, why have you gone to them? I'm like, I thought I would be better than them. And then you question yourself. Mm-hmm. That might be where the surgery thing comes in, because that's one area I haven't dealt with, because I don't look in the mirror and think, I'm pretty. I never have done. And I don't know why I feel the need that I need to keep mutilating myself, whatever the word is. I don't know. That's an area I need to do with therapy, to where it stems from. I know I wanted them done when I was 18, but, you know, look at me now. I don't stop.
Though, I think you have correctly identified that you could have more. You're offered free surgery.
Yeah, I am, yeah.
You could just go out and
but I don't take advantage of it. But then there's been times where I've looked and I've gone, oh, like, whoa, stop. Because you don't know if people are looking at you to think, oh, my God, she looks like a freak, or are they looking at you to see what you've had done. I look in the mirror now and think, yeah, I look like I've had surgery. But what's weird is most girls that have had surgery, they walk out the house with full-on makeup, mm-hmm. all their hair done, and then they dress like how a surgery. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
But, yeah, I don't. I'm still natural. I know I have my lashes done, but I've always
had. Do you have any makeup on today
nothing,
at all?
Not,
yeah, you look
one
very
being,
fresh-faced.
One being, no. But yeah, I'm not the typical surgery girl like you think I would be, all dolled up all the time. I'm not.
You could be.
I could be.
That's the fun of it, I think. You're like, I'm in a tracksuit today, but tomorrow, full bandeau dress.
Yeah.
And the lashes and the makeup.
But, yeah, I've even sitting here now, I exhaust myself talking about stuff. Because where you say something, I go off on my tangents. This is what I said to you. You'll ask me a question, and then I start thinking of something else to say that's interesting with it all.
I like it. I
could sit here all day and talk, honestly.
Most people that I know are neurodivergent.
Really?
And I like it. You just keep a lot of tabs open.
It's exactly tabs. You'll see me look up because it's like, but which one? It's like there's a library up there and I can just go back. Oh, yeah, that happened then, or go forward to there.
Well, also, Katie, it's all very interrelated, I'm sure. As someone who's not qualified to diagnose anybody with anything, it seems like a lot of really terrible things have gone on in your life that you couldn't control.
Yeah.
And you engage in a lot of risky behavior with men, even these surgeries. It's you taking back control, but still taking quite a stimulating risk.
Yeah, of course it is. Every anesthetic is not good. There's some people who've never even had one and they're scared of it, yet I love it. But when
pussies.
It comes to
it's
my
fun.
Feet, though, yeah, but when it comes to my feet, when I broke my feet in a freak accident.
So what was that decision? You just jumped off a thing?
No, I was with the kids and there was like a bush.
Not a cliff.
And I pretended to gallop like a horse in my sliders. And I didn't know. There was no signs up saying, you know, be careful, no fence. And I just jumped 20-foot drop into an underground car park, landed on my feet.
Yeah.
They'd said I'd never walk again. I was in a wheelchair for 10 months. Had to learn to walk again.
So other pins and things.
I've got 14 screws and bars on both feet because I would have loved to have done the marathon again. I've watched it and I'm like, oh.
I mean, that's the maddest thing you've said.
No, but I loved it for raising money for the charity. And it's such an amazing day though when you do it and you see all the people, what they're there for. But
it's got everything that you love is like punishment.
Exactly.
It's difficult.
Yeah.
You can do it while having a miscarriage.
Yeah,
nothing stops you.
God, yeah, that's another trauma day. I love that you've done your research.
I told you that I love you when I didn't need the card.
I love that you've done your proper research.
I haven't done any research. I don't know what's on them.
That's so refreshing. But yeah, so with my feet, that was a traumatic time for me. And now it affects me for the rest of my life because I can't run. I've been told I can never run again, although I can still horse ride, which I love.
How did you feel? Was there a period in your life, maybe like early days with Pete, where there was no trauma for a while?
The trouble with Pete was it wasn't Pete. It was the people around us.
Right.
That was the trouble.
Although, and I know you've spoken about that because even in your book, his management going into the jungle, there were people who said, don't get with her. There were people who said, do get with her. It could have been just very innocent young love, or it could have been really calculated. Yeah. And of course, you've been gaslit so many ways you don't
really
know.
I would say it was very magical how we met. Mm-hmm. You know, we had the big wedding, even though I didn't get to see the wedding because it was for a magazine. And I had postnatal depression and, I was being moved here, there, do pictures here, there. There was helicopter. I didn't even get to see the wedding.
Have you ever seen clips of your reality show with Pete on social media?
People have sent me it, and the older kids, Junior and Princess, I know they've seen it. But the thing is with them, I don't say anything bad or anything about Pete because...
You've always been very good.
What's the point? Because I've always been like, when they're older and they choose to want to go into things and look at things, it's out there for them to do it.
And everyone,
but they have seen TikToks. Princess has started, she told me, watching Pete's program did on his own. She wants to watch mine, but she said, Mum, I have to pay for it to download it. I said, well, pay for it then and download it if you want to watch it. They've never watched us in the jungle. And it was only a couple of years ago that Princess realised that me and Pete even did an album together.
Aww.
And so I showed her the music videos that we did and she cried and she's like, I didn't know that you and Dad did all this. It's sad, really, because we did a lot together, me and Pete, and the kids can see themselves growing up.
So for people who don't know what I'm talking about, and it sounds like
some of them
have been sent to you,
I have a vape at this
break. Yeah, you have a vape break. That's going on the test. I watched your reality show in real time. I was in the country for a lot of that. And I didn't think anything of it. But now, and clips can be manipulated on social media, so.
And what you've got to remember, when we did that show.
Yeah.
It's Can, who do the show. It's called Claire and Neville. Mm-hmm. And Claire and Neville were our managers who edit the show and put the show together.
Okay.
So in the edits. I just thought I'd let you know that.
In the edits that I do see on TikTok, there is a lot of, like, very low level nagging and making fun of a lot of resentment that seems to be coming from him, where he'll be putting you down gently and he acts like it's a joke. And I know filming a reality show, our family have a small reality show.
Yeah.
It is stressful, but watching it back now, you're just kind of going about your business.
Yeah.
And it does seem in the clips on TikTok that we always, I mean, the public thought of you as this really happy couple. He does seem to take a lot of opportunities to dig at you.
Yeah.
And that is what a lot of social media is focusing on when they release these clips.
I think.
Did you know that was happening at the time?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
There's lots they didn't show. Like, and then I'd stand up for myself. And then when I split up from the management, the same time I split up with Pete. Mm-hmm. Split up with both of them at the same time. They were still editing the show. So I know that the rest of the show didn't look good on me.
Okay.
It's a shame. But yeah, I think there was too many chefs around us.
Yeah.
And it's sad, really.
But
now, yeah, we don't even talk. I'd like to, like, I'm glad he's with Emily. Mm-hmm. She seems like a proper lady. I think it'd be weird if he went for someone like me. But what is funny, Junior and Princess, mainly Princess, because Junior's more like a bit more guarded. I can't imagine you and Dad together. You're just so nuts, Mum. And like when I see you and Emily, you're just so different. I can't imagine you and Dad. I said, I was with your dad 6 years. Trust me, we had a laugh, bantered together. We did. She said, I just can't imagine Dad being like that. I said, but he was. He was like that. We did have a laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, she can't believe that whenever he went everywhere, or me, we were together with the kids and all, we'd go as a family. Because she's like, Emily doesn't do all that with Pete. I said, me and Pete just did it all together as a family. If we've got you kids, you would come with us. Like, she goes, I just can't imagine it, Mum.
It's nice that the kids will have a catalogue of seeing you together because I'm not with my daughter's father.
Yeah.
And I don't speak to him either. We're not on bad terms and I haven't slagged him off, but I have really tried to stop myself.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, people don't think that you and I hold back, but we do.
You do, at
the expense of our biological age, maybe.
Oh, I'm dying to see this.
But because it lives in us deep.
It's hard though, isn't it? Because... Yeah. A lot of...
It is the dignified thing to do, though, Katie.
It is. And unfortunately, because obviously I've got 5 kids and 3 different dads. Dwight obviously doesn't have nothing to do with them. But there also can be a lot of brainwashing going on. And I just think it's not fair on kids. When kids are grown up, they can make their own choices and see what they want and just support them and just do what you can.
Have you ever seen the memes? I don't know if you're on TikTok as much as I am, but it's always wild girls who are having fun or they're dancing on a table and it goes, I know that when you're in bed with your vanilla wife, you'll be remembering what a feral rat I was.
I love memes like that because it's so true.
Yeah.
But I don't wish any of them bad.
Yeah.
I do wish that because I've come to a time in my life where I've sorted myself out mentally.
Because Do you think so?
Yo, 100%. I feel like I've started my career again knowing the experience and the knowledge now. It's taken me about 5 years. 5 years from start to finish, from the breakdown, going through it all of it, to the end. And now I can reflect back and think, I never, ever want to be that person again. How ill I was in the head, how sad I was, how I was putting on a front that I'm happy, this, that. It's exhausting.
You're still kind of doing it now.
I don't know. I feel like
the trauma wasn't that bad.
Oh, no, I know the trauma was bad, okay. But I think you never forget what's happened.
Yeah.
But you learn to deal with it.
Was there an epiphany, like something that you paid loads to a therapist to tell you that you wish you could have known for free when you were 16?
Or my men choices.
Yeah.
It'd always be men.
But that's not your fault, especially considering what happened to you and maybe even the neurodivergence.
Yeah.
You know, I think that maybe if you have any work left to do, if I was your therapist,
yeah,
I would just really hammer home that it's not your fault. Those choices, they weren't choices.
Yeah.
You know, like those are situations that were brought into your life based on trauma and possibly just the way that your brain worked to stimulate you.
But one thing I do hate now is looking back at the men I've been with.
Me too.
Because I find it hard to trust. Oh, I'd never do stories on you. I would never. No, I'm not that. My family aren't like that. We'd never do stories. And every single one has done stories. And then all of a sudden, I'm this, I'm that, I'm this. But in the relationship, they weren't moaning. And I just call them Mr. Prices. They just want fame from me. This, they've all had their two penny piece in. And I've now learned, oh, there's so much I could say back on them. But I don't, because what am I going to gain? I just think, do you know what? Get on with it. I'm where I am. I do what I do. And if that makes you feel better, it just proves to me you weren't the kind of person that I thought you was by doing it.
And the one you're with now is nice?
Oh, so he was on Married at First Sight. So through that...
Red flag.
They learn... you say red flag. No, they learn all about relationships. Okay. I must say, JJ, family absolutely love him. And he isn't anything like the other relationships. It seems healthy. If anything... Sometimes I want to shake and go, do something, because I'm not used to not having the questions. What are you doing?
If he's good, only time will tell.
But if they start that,
yeah,
he knows very well, I know what red flags are.
Yeah.
And in the beginning, it would be like, I'd say to him, that's a red flag, what you're doing. He'd be like, what are you on about? I'm like, no, I'm not having that. And then I have to look at the thing, actually, what he was asking was a normal thing, because I've been so burnt.
Yeah.
I will not be controlled anymore. I'm not going to be dictated. I'm not going to be told what job I can do, this, that. Like, I'm a sociable person and people have to understand, in my job, sometimes you might do a job and then people want to go for dinner after or lunch after. It's very normal. Mm-hmm. They have to understand my job and it can be sociable.
Yeah.
And I'm 46 now. I'm not being dictated by any man. I will do what I want to do. I'm not dictated by a manager. I pick and choose what I want to do. I won't be told. I'm not a product to anybody anymore.
Were you ever afraid of aging?
Do you know what? Age, it's really weird because age doesn't bother me. But I've sometimes in my head, it's like I know how I want to look. And I've always had that kind of thing in me, like with the boobs. I always knew I wanted my boobs done. I don't want to look like anyone. I know I always joke that I want to look like a Bratz doll, but come on, it's not even real, Kate. You're never going to look like that. I think with me, it's freshening up, like, because you've got to remember, when I started my career, there was no airbrushing, nothing. It was how it was. You didn't really have all makeup artists. You'd end up doing your own makeup. Whereas now... You don't even need a makeup artist if you're doing a photo shoot. You could just go on an app and put makeup on.
Yeah.
Things have changed a lot. I'm not competing with anyone because I think there's only one me and that's not being big-headed. Like, I know that if there was a young 20-year-old on a photo shoot, I'd still wipe the shit out of them doing a shoot. I'm very confident. I love the camera and it loves me and because that's all I know. I love the camera doing a shoot. I'm very confident like that. In front of the camera, I'm so confident. But yet, when I'm not on the camera, there's this proper vulnerability about me where I'm not so confident. Yeah. It's really, really weird. I can't even get it myself to explain it, but I don't look in the mirror and think, oh, you're good. If anything, I look in the mirror. Like now, I've got some creases here. I know you're going to think I'm mad, but I'll just want that bit lifted there a bit and that like that. And I know I can go and do it. It's like I can get an eraser and just say to someone, can you just erase that out for me and just nip that bit up? And they do it.
Well, maybe aging's good for you, though, because you talk about being 46, you've had the therapy, you've had the breakdown, you're moving away from toxic men, and you're dealing with your trauma.
I still want more kids as well, even though I've had IVFs and they failed.
But you still have access to the science.
Yes.
You have access to the plastic surgery and the supplements and IVF if you decide to try again. And I did see that documentary.
Yeah, I can't use my own eggs, though. They're too old. I've tried. So I'd have to get donor. I actually do have donor eggs.
Do you?
Yeah, I actually do.
From this country?
No. Because I wanted them to look like me. They're Spanish.
So you went Spanish. I knew you'd go Spanish. Plus, that is a good place to get surrogates and IVF. But
the thing is, I don't know what the woman looks like. Only the people who pick them can match them to me. And I made a joke and said, well, that might look like me now, but it might not look like me in 2 years because I'm always changing.
It's true.
But no, seriously, I wanted it, to be a bit Spanishy looking.
So you feel like even at 46, you have the energy for
a baby. Oh my God, I want loads more.
How many more?
As much as my body, because I can still carry. I never knew this. I'm going through the premenopause at the moment, which is horrible. The sweats. Yeah. I'm like, what the hell are these sweats when I wake up? I don't know if you're going through
it. I don't have it yet, but they don't tell us enough about perimenopause.
No, because I'm like, I'd wake up soaking wet and I'm like, what is this? And I realise it happens now towards when I'm due on my period, because I still have the periods. So I didn't know, even though my eggs are knackered and I'm going through the premenopause, you could still carry a baby. Yeah. I never knew that.
You could be 80 years old and carry a baby.
I never knew this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've all been checked because I've had obviously one natural birth and C-sections, and because they've been done well, and this is another thing, I heal well. Like if I have surgery, that I heal well. And I think that's why I go again and again, because I haven't had anything traumatic that hasn't healed and gone wrong. I am a very good healer.
Okay.
So the uterus and everything is fine.
What's your timeline for this? You've got this, the eggs.
I've had them a while. And then
JJ's in the wings.
Well, before I met JJ, I got donor sperm.
Oh, fine.
From America.
So did I.
Did you? Yeah, mine were American.
I didn't use it, but did you think the American
donors?
Mine was
a black guy I chose. Because Harvey's mixed. Yeah, maybe. Because Harvey's mixed. You know, looking at all my kids, I should do an advert for United Colors of Benetton.
Beautiful.
Because none of my kids look the same.
They're very racially ambiguous at the minute yourself.
No, but do you know what I mean? I'm open, like, so I wanted another little mixed one to, you know, because Harvey's mixed. But it is amazing. And it's not even a joke that you can literally pick anything. But at the end of the day, as long as it's healthy, I'm not really bothered. But if y'all could choose, that's what I chose. But obviously now I'm with JJ, it wouldn't be right if I went and had that sperm donor now, would it? Because I'd have to use his sperm.
Might be a good idea, though. Because the best of the baby fathers thus far has been the sperm donor. Because they go away. And then JJ, he could still be the love of your life. He can stick around if he wants, but legally.
The thing is, they want him. But I have said, I can carry the baby, but you do know DNA-wise, it's not mine. So you're not actually getting my genetics.
Mm.
But for me, some people don't want to do the sperm donor or have donor eggs because they feel it's not theirs. But I'm so blessed that I've got my own kids. And if I want to adopt, it's so hard. I wouldn't be able to adopt in this country because I've already got 5 kids.
Yeah.
I've looked at abroad. There was a place that I found, and it's for kids who have, they're young, but they've got some kind of disability, which is why they were given up.
Mm-hmm.
So I did apply to try and adopt one of them. And then because of my age, I can adopt one from the age of 2.
Mm.
So there's all areas. Like, I am not stopped being a mum and wanting more kids. There's ways out there for everyone.
There are. What do Princess and Junior specifically think about your quest to have more kids? Are they, because my oldest daughter, I have a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old as well, and we might want another.
Oh my God, 2 and a 3-year-old. That's like, that was like Jet and Bunny, like twins, really, isn't it? Back to back. Yeah.
Especially when the boy's older mentally. But my daughter, my oldest daughter, is like, stop it, please, no more.
Oh, really?
So are Princess and Junior on board?
They haven't really said, they know what I'm like.
Yeah.
But then I have to think they've got so many siblings anyway, because Pete, I think he's got three more kids. And then, but no, they wouldn't mind. They just know it's me. And they're older now. They're going to, you know, Junior's going to, he lives with me now with his girlfriend, but they'll end up moving out, finding their place.
Yeah, that's true.
And then obviously Harvey, he doesn't live with me anyway. He lives, he'd be living in independent. I mean, I'd love him to live with me, but he just, the house, I just can't. Yeah. I've tried. He just smashes things and all of this. And that's not his fault, but I still see him all the time. And obviously when he moves nearer home, I'll be seeing him literally every day. So yeah, there is room. I love it.
Should we talk about the plastic surgery and then reveal your biological age?
Yes, my biological age. Oh my God, what if it's like 104 or something?
Are you worried about it? What do you think it's going to be?
I don't know, because I want to explain to, we get to that where you explain really what it is and what it does, because I'm quite interested in that.
Well, having done a few episodes and having a really high biological age
have
myself.
Have you done it?
Yeah.
Have you?
Mine's really bad.
What do you mean? So, should we talk about plastic surgery first?
Yeah.
Talk about the blood,
Because all I know so far is that it looks a lot at inflammation and some other factors that Dr. Nicola Conlon can go into, but inflammation can come from stress, anxiety.
What do you mean by inflammation? Trauma. Tell me. What do you mean?
Your cells kind of have a warning system.
Oh, my God. Mine would be high alert.
This is what I'm thinking.
And oh, my God. If it does that, look at me now waking up interested.
I know.
I don't think my body could be tested anymore in any extreme. Like,
I know. So as young as you look, I'm hearing through your stories and the men and the traumas and everything else, a lot of potential inflammation. And also, I'm worried that cosmetic surgery, even though you recover well...
Yeah, but it's still trauma to the body.
It is trauma to the
body.
Major
trauma, yeah.
So I know you've done this countless times. We could go down the list of what you've
had. I wouldn't even know. Even if I Google it, I'm like, no, I haven't had that many boob jobs. Now, that's taking the piss.
Is it nine?
I think they say I've had 18.
18? Boob jobs. Even I know it hasn't
been
18.
No, it hasn't, no. Bloody hell. My boobs look fine. If you go on OnlyFans, you'll see like bits, although I don't
go on OnlyFans?
I love it. Do you know what, though? Yeah. When I did it, I had to ask Channel 4 and the BBC if I could do it.
Oh.
Because the reason I did that is because they might not want someone who does OnlyFans on them kind of doing shows. And not only that, I've got older kids. I would never... Some people do. I wouldn't do all the proper naked and stuff. I only do, like, because they haven't got all the old magazines loaded, FHM, all of these.
You're doing glamour modelling.
All I do is the same as what I did for them.
Well, I would like to subscribe.
Because I love doing it, yeah.
I subscribe to some of my girlfriends for support.
No, I love it and I enjoy it. And that's one side of me no one can ever take away. Yeah. I love it. So you will never see me on Instagram. I don't think there's any pictures of me in a bikini, underwear or nothing.
Oh.
Never.
You reserve that content for the OnlyFans.
Because that's always what I've done. And it's like, you know, and I've got, remember, my kids are older, so I have to be careful what I do because I don't want to embarrass them and be like, if they're like, oh, look at your mum here or there or there. Like, I just wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't worry. No, because
I wouldn't do it anyway. Like, my family, I show my family my pictures. I'm like, see, this is it. And I show Princess and she's like, Mum, that's so good, that picture, this and that. So this is funny about Princess. This is probably why we get on. She does her days where she goes out and does her pictures for her Instagram.
She's
and
modeling.
She's like, Mum, can you get 8 outfits for me? I said, what? Your clothes? No, your clothes. I went, why do you want to use my clothes? Because you just, your style, you do it better. So she uses my clothes for her Instagram pictures.
Have you saved like naughties clothes?
Like, oh my God, 90s. I'm the biggest hoarder ever. I have 2 containers full of clothes, even from when I was 18, the little skirts and that I've worn out, my press call outfits, I've got everything. My sister keeps saying, Kate, next year when you celebrate your 30th, we've got to do a big party with all your iconic outfits up. I don't throw nothing away. Even the kids, even Harvey's first little train, everything. I've got everything.
But all that 90s clothes.
It's coming back.
2000s, yeah. So the kids are lucky.
That is scary, isn't it?
Has there been any surgery that you regret?
The bum. I haven't got it in anymore. I tried that BBL abroad where they take your own fat and put it in your bum. It was so painful.
Oh, no.
And it just did not look right on me.
Do you worry that because you multitask, and then we'll bring out Dr. Nicola Conlon because I'm ready for the result. I think you
are. I know. Look, I could sit here and talk for ages with you.
But do you worry that because when something so traumatic happens to you at age 7, and the people in your life, I've seen your mom a lot in the show. I know
she moans at me even now. I know she's had her lung off. And I'm like, Mom, your lungs are doing well now because you're still having a go at me.
But
she loves me, looks after me. I've got a good family.
She does love you and she does look after you. But to be 7 years old and have that happen, it means that in some aspect you weren't being protected.
Yeah.
And you became very self-sufficient. And hyper-independence is a trauma response.
Yeah.
And I think I can even hear you doing it now where you go, you're talking about a bad time, but I think you're secretly pleased with yourself that you're like, and I could have had sepsis, but I didn't have sepsis and I won it.
I'm very like that, yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that I get it.
I'm like that a lot with everything. I'm like, well, that's happened. Yeah, well, it's happened. But at the time, it's traumatic. But that's what I mean, throwing things under the carpet. So I still see a therapist every month just for check-ins. Or if I want to have a rant about something or something's on my mind, instead of doing it through social media or anywhere else, I've now learned through the ADHD, I've learned how to just take a breath and just don't react. Even with texts, you don't have to respond straight away. If someone asks you something, you don't have to respond. You can take your time and answer and stuff. And the worst thing for me is, even now, if I see stories or people doing stories on me and stuff, there's a lot that I could say and I want to say, but then I don't because I'm like, Kate, just leave it. It's bad energy. You want the good energy. Just don't let these people, it's the past. You don't need to get back into things. And I just think, do you know what? Just get on with it.
But that's still you holding stuff inside.
Yeah, so which isn't good, which is why I air it to the therapist. But it still doesn't give me that finish of, I want to say this. Because so many people still portray me bad because they're bitter. And it's like, why would you say a lot of this stuff that's lies when you know exactly what I could do back to you? Which would just shut everything down. And I don't because... Mm. I just don't want to get... I just want to get on with my life, like...
Do you think JJ takes care of you?
He's so good. He's so gentle.
Okay.
So kind. No, he's a good egg.
I hope so. Shall we invite Dr. Nicola Conlon and reveal your biological age? Yeah, let's do it. We're now joined by Dr. Nicola Conlon, a science lady, a doctor of science. We've taken your blood, Katie Price. We've given it to Glycan Age. You've done a test of your biological age with it.
So can you explain to me?
Yep.
So this test, what does it mean if it's my age comes up really high? There's nothing I could do about it. Was there, because I don't take any vitamins, no supplements, I don't take anything. Is there anything you could do to help it or...
Yeah, so it's testing your biological age, and that is the age that you are on the inside. So you've got your chronological age, which is just what you are, but your biological age is something that can either be higher or it can be lower, and you can actually change it.
So this is going to be interesting. I reckon it's going to be high, you know?
I think so too, because of the trauma. And because...
Well, if it's like in its 90s or something, or like 104, I don't know why the number 104 is coming in. Well, I doubt it's that, but the 104 is coming in my brain, that kind of 90s.
If I had as much trauma as you, I think I'd be 904.
Oh, my God.
Anything below 904 is going to be a good number, I think.
904.
Okay. Would you like to know?
Yeah.
Your biological age.
Might surprise you.
Is 17. That's 24 years older than your chronological age.
That's nuts.
But it's not really with what you've told me. So, Dr. Nicola, can you explain more?
I must deal good with stressing.
So what we actually measure in this test is directly linked to inflammation. So there's lots of different ways you can measure biological age, but this specific glycan age test literally looks at levels of inflammation that are present in your body. Because generally, if you have higher levels of inflammation, that is pro-aging on the inside. So it'll push the biological age up. And, you know, I've been sitting listening in the background to all the stories and everything you've been saying. And I really think in this case, it is such an example of how trauma can really leave, you know, not just a psychological imprint on the body, but a physical imprint on the inside. And I mean, you know, when you've gone through all this trauma, did it actually make you physically sick? Did it make you...
Never been physically. It's more like the shock.
Yeah.
The numbness, the unbelievableness, if that's such a word, of, oh, my God, this again. And I think when I got told Harvey was blind, that was a shock. But while I was pregnant with Harvey, I got cancer. And I didn't know that until... because they couldn't do the scans till after. It was in my hand here. They took it out. It was called leiosarcoma. And apparently I got that from being pregnant, the stress of it. So when I phoned my mum, I was remember going, Mum, just to let you know they found cancer in me. I was so, like, flippant like that, because so much had already happened to me by then. It's just the, yeah, this has happened now. Yeah, that's happened now. I think because so many things have happened, the way I deal with it is, yeah, that's another thing. Mm. And it's sort of... I think about it and then I'm just like, oh, well, you just got to get on with it.
Yeah, it's that almost like you've become immune to it.
Yeah.
But it's like your body's still holding it all.
The body keeps score.
Yeah.
And everything that you've been describing, it would sound like from a physiological point of view in the body that you would literally be in a constant state of fight or flight, like constantly on edge.
Or freeze. There's fight, flight or freeze now. And I think Katie Price is a freeze.
Yeah.
But in all of those situations, situations, it's going to mean in your body you've got high cortisol, which is a stress hormone, high adrenaline.
Yes.
So that actually pushes it high.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, because it switches on your immune system. Now, your immune system is obviously very good in certain circumstances. And it sounds like you've got quite a good immune system in parts because you're healing quickly and things like that.
Yeah, I do, yeah.
But also, if it's kept switched on all the time, that's when it starts to become damaging.
Right.
And that's when you would see it push the biological age up.
So what was yours?
Mine's older than yours, so that's the good news. Mine's 77. But
isn't that mad? Because if yours is 77 and you say you haven't had as much, why'd you got the auto?
I do, maybe, you know, your family, you have really good relationships with your sister and your mom and you're riding horses.
Yeah, really
horses.
Close family, yeah.
Equine therapy is a thing, isn't it? Being close to horses.
Yeah, that's animals, really good. Animals, I've got animals, I love it.
Yeah, and it's really interesting because I think you're obviously taking major steps now to deal with it, which I think is brilliant because the study's been done looking at PTSD, which you brought up specifically.
Yeah, I've been diagnosed with that.
Yeah, which, you know, and multiple times as well. Yeah. And even in the studies, you know, people that had just suffered from one traumatic event, they saw that they had a biological age that was often 15 years higher than the chronological age with one, you know, traumatic event. So given...
What can I do about that, my 70-year-old body?
So this is a good thing. So the fact that you were like, you know what, I don't take any supplements, I don't do anything. There's so many things you can do.
I think they might make me feel sick.
Well, this is the positive thing about biological age. It is reversible. And even in these studies, when they've shown that people are, you know, come back higher than the age, this is something where you can not only return to your chronological age, but even go below it and go backwards younger.
What do you do? What's the secret?
So what is, tell me a little bit about your lifestyle. So what is your diet like? You just said you don't take any supplements, you know, typical
don't take
diet.
Supplements. Friday night, curry night. Mm-hmm. Sundays, the roast dinner. We take turns in the house cooking.
Do you eat a lot of processed foods? Or do you cook?
Not really.
Do you eat a lot of vegetables, fruits, plants, stuff?
Yeah, like pasta dishes or like shepherd's pie, cottage pie, lamb chops. I like wintry foods.
So like proper British cooking. Yeah. Homely stuff.
Yeah.
So some of the best studies.
But then McDonald's.
Okay.
Subway.
McDonald's. not great for biological age.
Like lamb chops.
Yeah.
When it comes to diet, the best diet that, I mean, it's individual to everyone, but in a generalization, the best diet to reduce biological age is a diet that has a lot of fruit, a lot of vegetables, a lot of plants. So the nuts, the seeds, the herbs, the spices, basically anything that comes from a plant.
Right. But more, that's not good for the other end, though.
Do you suffer from a poor gut?
Right, so I did. You'll laugh at this. I had to Google. They say if you fart more than 30 times a day or something, there's something wrong with you. 30, I would say it was like 100. And I did actually, because I'd bloat a lot on some of the food, and I did see a doctor thinking, have I got IBS or something, where they put the camera up at you. But that happened around COVID time, so I didn't really go back and go there. Mm. And I've noticed the less pasta and things like that I eat, the less bloated and tired I feel, and I'm not as windy. So I must be intolerant to something, dairy or something. I must be. I've never been tested for it.
Well, IBS, if you had a version of it, is an autoimmune disease, and that can be triggered by stress. But also just different people's body types. There is a genetic test that you can do that will tell you what foods are good for you. Like, I'm not meant to eat spinach or broccoli or
I love all that.
Yeah, you would think that's healthy for you, but everybody's a little bit different. So
maybe
it.
I should get tested for
Everyone's, when it's biology, like, everyone is different, everyone is individual, but really interesting what you do say about the gut, because we know that in people where the gut microbiomes, that's all the different microbes in your gut, if that's off balance, that can actually trigger inflammation across the entire body.
Really?
And sometimes just getting a diet that's really suited to you and good for your gut microbiome to promote diversity in the gut microbiome can make a big difference.
I just hate the word diet because I think...
Yeah, you think of the wrong type of diet. Restrictive.
Yeah,
this is diversity.
I think everyone, I know they go on about diets. I'd rather rephrase it as know what's good for you to eat and just educate yourself on it. Because I think if I start saying, right, I'm going to have to diet on something, it will make me want the wrong things.
So
I just think it's just knowing your body, I suppose, and what to eat. Because I don't think you should be restricted on anything. I mean, look at Harvey. He's like a beast, 29 and a half stone. But he's got Prada willies where he doesn't know when he's full up. But when you look, he doesn't really eat much, but when he does, he wants to see it as a big pile. So I put it on a smaller plate to make it look like a big one. Then he's like, okay, Mum. Because if I just put that same portion on a big plate, to him, it's not enough. Do you know?
Yeah.
Just ways even educating him about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's all about the education. And I completely agree with you about the word diet.
I mean, I know he's completely different to a case like me.
Yeah. But it's in terms of diet, actually, variety is better.
Yeah.
So it's not about restricting. It's about making sure you've got diversity in the diet and, you know, it's not just the same thing.
Says me, I'm probably going to go to a finger licking good after if I can find one. KFC.
I would say from everything that you've said, it is probably more trauma-based than fried chicken-based.
Yeah.
But while we chip away at the trauma, what supplements would you recommend?
Yeah, so you say you don't take any, but there are some supplements
and I do,
that could help.
From where I've had babies, because I always chew ice when I'm pregnant, lack of iron.
Okay.
And they always try and give me the Furus tablets, but they make me feel so sick. And then I've tried them other ones in the sachets.
Yeah.
If anything, I would say I'm not anemic because I've been tested, but it's always, I get a bit dizzy when I stand up and I always have low blood pressure.
So with supplements, it's always best, it's again, to know what your body needs.
Yeah.
So you can get blood tests done, finger prick ones, so you don't have to have the needles. And then you can find out what you're specifically deficient in. But when it comes to biological age and things that we know will help reduce that, there are a couple things I would recommend.
Go on, tell me.
First one, omega-3. So omega-3s, they're usually found in like fatty, oily fish, salmon, you know, sardines,
like
things like that. It is, but you can get versions that are like pure omega-3, which have a higher potency. We know that they're really anti-inflammatory in the body. Mm. So taking something like that.
How long will it take for the age thing to go down? Because you know what's coming next, don't you? Katie Price part two in a few months' yeah. time or wherever it is, and then we redo the bloods. And if I take the supplements, yeah. Yeah. see if it has made a difference.
I love would the impatience. Yeah. I love the ADHD on it, the drive.
But it is that. Yeah. I'm like that. But I would be interested in taking what you take.
Yeah.
So it's pressure for you, because if it doesn't work, we'd be like, well, it didn't work, but you don't
know. A new documentary on ITV with security.
Yes.
Katie Price, yeah. reverse the biological clock.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So definitely omega-3.
Yeah.
The other one's vitamin D. So right. again, you know, you can get vitamin D from sunlight.
We're in the sun.
Sunbeds.
Not sunbeds. Whoa. Wait, this is important, Dr. Nicola. Mm-hmm. You don't get vitamin D from sunbeds.
No, and also sunbeds are not great for the biological age, unfortunately.
Oh, that hasn't helped then, because okay. look, this is sunbeds
yeah.
or sun.
But even I didn't know that vitamin D from that. Artificial light doesn't work. It has to be the sun.
It's the same. It's all about the level of exposure. Oh. So any benefit of vitamin D that's yeah. coming from the sun has to be outweighed. It will be outweighed if you're getting burned or if you put in a high
so
level of exposure.
Vitamin D.
Vitamin D with K2. So you pair those two together.
You'll have to send me this.
We can sort that for you.
Yeah.
Something else, which for people that have high levels of inflammation, something called curcumin. And now that is something that's found in turmeric, you know, which is a lot in curries yeah. and things like that.
Curries, that's, Friday night
yeah,
curry.
Yeah, yeah I love it.
But you can get some supplements that have good absorption that actually help to do that as well. And diet, obviously, I can't emphasize enough the diet and how much that really does make an impact.
Do you also think this can relate to anyone mm-hmm. who does take a lot of tablets? When you have, like, surgery and stuff and you're on antibiotics, what's that gut thing that you could do to help your gut?
I think,
and there's a lot of people who take medications and that out there. Is there a gut thing that you should take to protect it?
So antibiotics completely destroy the gut microbiome.
Yeah.
So they're obviously designed to kill bacteria, but you've got lots of healthy yeah. bacteria in your gut, so it's like a wipe out of everything.
Yeah.
So, yes, taking the probiotics, things
That's
to
it,
try and build it up. Also, fermented food is good. You know,
well, I
like
did that once in the jungle. I don't need to do that again.
Yeah,
yeah, maybe not those types of fermented eggs. No,
is it wine fermented?
What you know?
See, I'm not a big drinker either.
Yeah, but that's good because alcohol
not.
Can.
I'm all or nothing.
Negatively impact
I don't
impact
drink
it.
At home. If I drink, it's to go out.
Yeah.
And I'm not one of these person who can just have like a glass of wine, and I just go out just to get pissed, and that don't really happen these days.
How inflammatory do you think the men have been on a scale of 1 to 10?
They've done it all.
I mean, yeah, I think it goes without saying that has been the source of a lot of your stress.
And it's funny you say that, because it's always that knot, constant knot, like that worry knot that you get in your belly.
Yeah, and that's constant anxiety. A state of anxiety is that constant fight, flight, freeze, which means that inflammation is chronic and it's there all the time.
Yeah.
The other thing is you mentioned as well, you know that you're starting to go through perimenopause.
Oh, awful.
And again, unfortunately, as women, that's something else that actually also pushes our biological age up. Yeah, there's been studies showing that in the transition between perimenopause and menopause and the hormonal changes that are happening, it can increase a woman's biological age by an average of 9 years
but
in just 6 months.
I'm not too bad with 70, actually, because I'll be 50 in 3 years, 20 years. I look at my mum, she's, 74? She's still doing it. I know she only got one lung and it only works 50%, but she's still like good little Nick.
Well, you know what? I think you say that you've made some real breakthroughs in therapy.
Yeah.
It sounds like this JJ takes care of you, which would be a reflection of your changed mindset. Maybe an older, wiser, calmer Katie Price will reverse the biological age.
I've definitely, I have changed a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm still crazy in that when I need to be, well, I say when I need to be, whoever knows who wakes up, what day. But I've definitely calmed down. I hate the word that I'm sensible. I'm sensible in the right situations now.
Yeah. You feel like you've got that stress way more under control.
Because I'm now in control.
Yeah.
No one's controlling me. And that's in every aspect of my life.
It's ironic, but very useful that people would think of, you know, Jordan, if they didn't know you, they would think she's obsessed with looks and being young.
But I'm not.
But the older you get, I think your biological age will go down. I think we have yet to see the best Katie Price that we're going to see.
Oh, she's coming. Don't you wait, because I know what's in the pipeline coming out as well. So
after the men, after the jobs, after the travel, after the surgeries and all the babies, I think aging chronologically will be the best thing for you looking and feeling young.
Yes, I'm gonna get all them supplements and try. And I think, even if it's a quick one, how long does it take? 6 months?
Yeah, it can, you'd say about 6 months. Sometimes we start to see a change after about three, but definitely, you know,
we should come back
given
and
it
see.
6 months.
Yeah. I'll try to get mine down and mine will just be up.
Well, why don't we do a mission? Yeah. You try and I say, there you go. That's an ADHD thing, and having to have someone else to do it with.
We should, because I think of anyone, you and I do have two of the highest.
Yeah.
I'm the highest, but...
Do you know, it actually makes me feel good
you
that
try
you're
to
higher. Because I thought I'd be a lot higher.
No. You try to get yours down. I'll try to get mine up, and we'll see.
You're not getting yours up. Get yours down as well.
Well, thank you very much for
coming. Thank you so much for having me. Sorry I talk so much.
I love
and
you
I've probably
so
gone
much.
Over time. Yeah. Now I'm going to go and have Botox.
Thank you so much to Katie Price for joining us on What's My Age Again. If you want more Katie, you can buy one of her many books, including This Is Me, her latest autobiography. Thank you so much for listening.